Eternity in the wrong place is an excruciatingly long time. Pay attention to today's discussion.
God has equipped us with certain gifts that are unique. I don't care who's watching or listening to this. They are equipped in a very unique way. And now is the time to quickly be about our Father's business while we have time. Look, the trumpet could sound before we have a benediction here, but if it does not sound, then for some reason the Lord wants us to press on some more, tough as it is.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. It's summer, so we often air some special programming. Today, in part one of our program, we air a provocative discussion between Jan Markell, Nathan Jones, and Tim Moore on the Christ in Prophecy TV program. In part two, Josh Schwartz and Ken Michael talk to an ex-New Ager, Jen Niza, who offers needed warnings to Christians about the wiles of the devil. Here is today's program.
Say, glad you can join me today for part one of our programming. I'm doing something just a bit different as members of my media team are away this week. I'm playing a short television interview I did a couple months ago with Lamb and Lion Ministries. I am a guest of Tim Moore and Nathan Jones on their Christ in Prophecy television program. Lamb and Lion is a trusted sister ministry of Olive Tree Ministries, and we've actually featured Tim Moore and Nathan Jones in recent weeks of programming. They're headquartered in the Dallas area, founded by Dr. Dave Reagan. And I do hope you enjoyed this segment, and my thanks to Tim and Nathan for the excellent job they did. Remember, you can watch this program, Understanding the Times, because we're not just radio. We also make a video, and we post the video where you can actually see the programming done by Lamb and Lion. This interview I'm referring to, you can access it on our website. If you'll go to olivetreeviews.org and then to radio, you'll find the audio and the video option available. You can find it weekly on our YouTube channel and the Rumble channel, many of our social media platforms. So here's today's segment on Christ in Prophecy Television, now featured on Understanding the Times Radio.
Welcome to Christ in Prophecy. When I became the director of Lamb and Lion Ministries in 2021, I knew that I wanted to highlight some of the prophetic voices that have been speaking into our nation for a number of years. I traveled around the country to connect personally with some of the leading advocates of Bible prophecy. One of the first prophetic voices we highlighted that year was Jan Markell, the founder of Olive Tree Ministries. I visited her hometown of Minneapolis in the dead of winter to engage in an enlightening and encouraging dialogue.
And today we're delighted to connect with Jan once again through the miracle of modern technology to discuss her latest book, Understanding the Times. Jan was born into a messianic family. Her father was born an Orthodox Jew, but became an avid follower of Yeshua. And Jan accepted Jesus as her Messiah when she was 11 years old and has been a dedicated disciple ever since.
Olive Tree's goal is to help people understand the times according to the Bible, contend for the faith in Jesus Christ, and help the church stand against deception as watchmen on the wall in these last days. Her latest book certainly aligns with that mission. Its subtitle reads, Making Sense of the Chaos Leading to Earth's Final Days. We intend to do just that on our program today. So Jan, welcome again to Christ in Prophecy.
Tim and Nathan, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it so much.
Well, Jan, I actually noted as I read your book, wonderful insights that you provide, but I had a great appreciation for the fact that it's not dedicated to a single individual, but to all those who long for the truth and who wish to understand the times, contend for the faith, and be watchmen on the wall in this chaotic generation. It is also dedicated to all those who long for our Lord's appearing, and that certainly describes both Nathan and myself and many people watching Christ in Prophecy today.
You know, Tim, I think there's a term, and we probably will use it more than once in these segments that we're doing today, and that is remnant or remnant believer. Not everyone knows what that means, and I know you gentlemen do, but I'm just going to say there's a little subset within evangelical Christianity that's truly incredible times we're in. They're trying to understand them. They're trying to contend for the faith. They're trying to point to the fact that we're running out of time. And they're trying to make up for a lot of what the church is silent on. And I call those remnant believers. They're longing for the truth. And just as much, they're longing for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And probably they're in a church that's pretty silent about that.
We call those the remnant believers now, too. We've kind of adopted that because so many people are contacting Lamb and Lion Ministries. And they say, well, we can't find a church that's doctrinally sound that teaches about the end times. And it's very frustrating for them. Well, considering the end times, you cite the commendation that 1 Chronicles 12:32 gives the sons of Issachar. It says that they were men who understood the times. Well, Jan, how were they able to understand their times? And how can we aspire to understand our times?
I think that's an intriguing verse because how do you understand the times unless you're doing it from a totally biblical perspective, which they must have? Remember, sons of Issachar, they didn't have a computer. They didn't have satellite TV. They didn't have any kind of communication. They didn't have a cell phone. They didn't have a landline phone. So how do you understand the times when you are completely isolated in the world? And I think that they had to understand the times. Therefore, they must have been just interpreting straight out of the Bible, which not a bad idea. But having said all that, what a blessing this generation has in that we have every form of modern communication imaginable. As a matter of fact, when we see something on the nightly whatever cable, preferably Fox or Newsmax, it's happening as they speak and as we watch. The sons of Issachar didn't have that convenience. They still understood the times.
They certainly did. You know, I read the other day that there was an island out in the South Atlantic that took almost a year to hear that World War I had ended. That's 100 years ago, just over, and a whole year to get a message that a war had ended. Same thing happened in the Battle of New Orleans, happened after the war was technically over. So yes, we have instantaneous news. Jan, you actually mentioned regarding our contemporary moment that it is both a privilege and a challenge to be alive these days. What do you mean by that? And what do you mean by the term being a watchman? What is the role of a watchman?
I think that a lot of people would prefer to be born in a different generation, if I can be honest. I'm not one of them. I think it's so exciting to be watching all that's going on, to tie it to the Bible, as I think we should do and are privileged to do. But I think some people are weary. And they're weary and well-doing. And right now, I want to encourage them that they have been born for such a time as this. God didn't make a mistake. Quite frankly, I wouldn't want to go back 100 years or 150 years. I mean, my goodness, I'm watching some of those programs on some online presentations. And my goodness, the challenges are unspeakable. But at the same time, we have a challenge because we're part of this generation and because we're watchmen on the wall. And I think, if I can be blunt, I think anybody who's a watchman today, I think that's one of the most important assignments that anybody can have today. And what does that mean? I think they're here to, for one thing, sound warnings, to remind people the hour is late, to remind people they need to get right with God, and to remind people they need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and to remind people that eternity is a long place. And if you're going to the wrong place in that eternal perspective, you don't want to do that. And that's kind of a message that we're conveying here in this time as well.
My parents, they tell me often, they're just so tired of this. They're so tired of this world and the evil. They look forward to the kingdom of Christ, and they hate seeing what's happening to the Jewish people. And as you know, one of the bellwether events of our time happened on October 7th, 2023. That's when the terrorists invaded Gaza and southern Israel. They murdered 1,200 Jews, and in their bloodlust, they committed unspeakable acts of barbarism. They kidnapped over 300 men, women, and children, and many are still being held as hostages as we're recording this. So the world initially condemned their actions as heinous, but then many nations have now turned on Israel and showing them great animosity. So you refer to this as Israel derangement syndrome. Exactly what do you mean by that?
I think the biggest shock for all of us since October 7, 2023 has been the fact that you would think that such a traumatic and, as we properly have already stated, barbaric occasion that happened to Israel would have caused them worldwide sympathy, and in some circles it did. But the primary response that we saw globally was cheering for Hamas. What's wrong with a society that cheers for Hamas? What's wrong with a society that lifts up the banners of the barbarians and terrorists of the world and seems to be celebrating them, while in fact Israel, and again, keep in line with Scripture, in Zechariah 12:3, is being abandoned more and more and more and more. Why? Because she's defending herself. She's going into Gaza to get rid of these monsters. And they are monsters. They torture anything they can get their hands on. And the world has sympathy for them. Is that not, in one sentence, a sad statement of where we are here in beginning of 2025?
It certainly is. Jan, I think back to Germany in the 1930s and even into the 40s, and people wonder how professing Christians there in that day and age could have been silent as the Jews began to be persecuted and killed. And yet, we could argue that some of those folks living in Germany may not have known. They at least claim they didn't know. But there is no mistaking what is happening in our world today. We can see with our own eyes, as you said, we can watch the evening news. It's being reported contemporaneously, immediately. And yet, the church oftentimes is silent in the face of this unmitigated evil. It took over a year for a church I'm familiar with to even mention that there'd been an outrage happening on October 7th. So what is wrong with so many churches right here at home, even in the supposedly Christian West and the United States in particular?
I think there's a large segment of them who are mishandling the theology as it concerns Israel and Jewish people. I think many are amillennial, postmillennial, replacement theology. So there we get down to a theological problem, which is going on big time. I think a heavy percentage of those who follow Lamb and Lion and Olive Tree don't fall in that category, but they've got family members who do. They've got loved ones who are in churches who are marginalizing what we're talking about because of theology. And I know we all want to celebrate what Martin Luther did, but at the same time, the reformers did not handle this topic very well. Between Calvin and Luther and some of the others, the church is the new Israel. I mean, what are we to do with that? We have the fallout of that. As we speak, our followings could probably be 10 times higher were it not for the fact that the churches are saying what you're saying is nonsense and what I'm saying is nonsense. Not all of them, thankfully, but many of them would call us heretics.
I think it's interesting you mentioned Luther and Calvin. Obviously, they had some great ideas in terms of reforming what was a dead church. But at the time, I think they had a failure of imagination or, dare I say, a failure of belief, because the Word of God clearly says that the Jewish people would be gathered, that Israel would be reestablished, but they could not imagine how that would happen. All the way down through the end of the 1800s, many Christians could not imagine how God was going to fulfill those promises, and so they oftentimes tended to discount them. But we have witnessed all those promises being fulfilled, which is why I certainly do not understand how some can still deny the clear teaching of Scripture that God is fulfilling his promises right before our eyes if we merely understand the times we live in.
No, Tim, I think the point you're making, which is so accurate, is since 1948, there was a wake-up call in 1948, and the churches that want to deny that, you can't spiritualize everything post-1948, and I can see why they may have before that. But that was a huge wake-up call, and I mean a biblical wake-up call. That means that prophecies that the Bible said would happen eventually, starting in 1948, were about to begin happening. And pastors, please, it's time you address it. And I heard from so many people the week and the 2 weeks after October 7, 2023, and they were writing this, and my church still hasn't mentioned it. My church still hasn't prayed for Israel. My church still hasn't prayed that America will continue to stand by. Okay, so there's the absence that includes all the silence, I think, is just as grievous as the replacement theology. You can openly and blatantly deny Israel has a role, or you can ignore it and pretend it doesn't matter and we're not going to talk about it. Wake up, pastors, please. It's late. We need to talk about it. If you join me late, I am playing the interview I did with Lamb and Lion Ministry a few weeks ago now for Christ in Prophecy, their TV program. Tim Moore and Nathan Jones are the co-hosts. Back to the program.
Jen, your book, Understanding Times, I knocked it out in 2 evenings. It's a real easy read, and this particular chapter really resonated with me. Artificial intelligence, are we summoning up demons? And you brought up a number of examples of the social and technological trends that are evident today, from apostasy to AI to gender confusion, the LGBTQ plus revolution. What do you think all these threats have in common? Is this a rise of demonic activity in the world?
For sure, Nathan. And again, it's challenging. Again, this generation is beyond words challenging. But I think this artificial intelligence, I think this is something we have to pay attention to because it's going to run the beast system. We won't be here. But again, it allows us to see the setup of the beast system, which will be run by this incredible, who can fathom? Can you imagine our parents' generation imagining and visualizing and watching and experiencing artificial intelligence? Why do we need artificial? Isn't human intelligence enough? Apparently not. Apparently not. So now we have to tap into artificial intelligence. What does that even mean? What is the meaning of art? Didn't God give intelligence to human beings? Are you saying God gave intelligence to machines? Well, he gave mankind the ability to have the intelligence to pull all that together. And if it can be used for good, praise the Lord. Someday it's going to be used for evil, total evil.
It's interesting when you follow even the Japanese sci-fi and stuff like that, and you hear from the World Economic Forum that the idea is that these people want to transcend their human bodies and put their souls into these AI computers and have eternal life. So isn't it like going back to the old system that mankind wants to be gods again?
Mankind wants to be God. I think that probably sums it up in a sentence. So true, so true.
And the sad thing is, as mankind tries to become godlike, he actually becomes dehumanized because it takes us away from other people. It obviously takes us away from the Lord. Well, Jan, looking forward and through your discerning eye, how do you think the Antichrist will take advantage, rather, of all these trends? You mentioned that we're seeing the very powers, the technology come into play that he will use. But how do you think he'll take advantage of these trends of thinking, of ideology, to ascend to power and consolidate his reign of terror?
I'm not sure any of us have the creative imagination to figure that out, Tim, but I think he's going to be empowered by evil. He's going to have wisdom and knowledge that's certainly not from God. He's going to have technological ability. He's going to have, we've already mentioned it, he's going to have artificial intelligence, and the church is going to be gone. But I think that there's this element that's coming to faith during the tribulation, and the Bible says that may be one of the greatest revivals of all time. Coming to faith during the tribulation. Can you imagine the wake-up call these new believers in the tribulation are going to have as they get their eyes open and they begin seeing things even from a spiritual perspective, as they see who this man of lawlessness is, and they see this artificial intelligence running everything. And of course, the first thing they're going to say is, why didn't I act sooner? Because now I'm left behind. Which is, again, this is why we do what we do. We don't do this to sound smart and to put out newsletters and programs. We do this to rescue the perishing while there's time. And guys, we're running out of time.
You know, I so appreciate the way you answered that question, Jan, because you proved that you don't claim to be a prophetess. You said there's some things we can't know. And you are so right about that. But you are a prophetic voice because you take the Word of God and you understand the times and you apply the Word of God to what we are seeing instead of the other way around. And so that is so very insightful and wise on your part. That's exactly what we try to do. Nathan and I don't claim to be prophets. We couldn't even get who's going to win the Super Bowl this year, right?
I was close.
He was close. So the point being that we teach the Word of God. That's all that we need to do. And in doing so, we aspire to be a prophetic voice as well. But you actually advise your readers. I love this statement you have. It's on page 67. You say, ignore the naysayers, forget the scoffers, and don't get discouraged by the siege. Instead, you say we should be excited, and you call those that live expecting the Lord to return to be motivated to serve him faithfully and boldly as, like you said before, remnant believers. So what are some of the characteristics of these remnant believers? And there's 10 of them that you list on pages 70 to 72, but just as we're dialoguing today.
And again, my hunch is many who are watching fall into this category. And you're right, I have about 10 points and we certainly can't list them. But I think that one key characteristic, and your listeners are going to identify with because they attend your events, my events, enthusiastic remnant believers will travel literally across town, across country, in some cases across the world to be together. Because this like-minded fellowship is so, so important. And they may not have it in their hometown, or they may not have it at the level that they would like to have it. And remnant believers see the times and the darkness that it's growing. The times are getting more tense. The darkness is growing. And they don't despair because they know this is a herald of his coming. And isn't that why you folks are doing what you're, again, with second time we've said it, we're doing this not for popularity or for likes or for clicks. We're doing this because time's running out, gentlemen. Time's running out, and we want to get that gospel out, and we want to proclaim the good news while we can. And a remnant believer is going to be backing what you folks and I'm doing. And many of them may be a part of a church. Again, we've already referenced that, maybe a part of a church that's not telling the total truth. And they're having to seek out your ministry and mine and many others that are fine to fill in the part of their spiritual life that's lacking. And they're looking to each other, as I just said. They'll travel around the world to find each other.
Jan, I had to mark up the book. You have so many great quotes. I had to put little explanation marks next to them. One of those 10 points you say, remnant believers often feel isolated and misunderstood, even though they possess the truth, and naysayers are clueless. That's the exasperation that we get from people. We connect with people all over the world online, and they tell us, they're like, my family won't talk to me anymore. I show them what the Bible says. I show them what's on the news, and they don't want to talk about it. And so page 67, you say, don't believe that your enthusiasm for the soon return of Christ is misguided. Don't let naysayers discourage you and inspire doubt in your mind and heart. For me, at least in the 20 years or so I've been following your ministry, that's what I think the primary message I've got from Olive Tree is, that you teach us that we're not insane, that the world does make sense when you look at it through a biblical lens, and that gives us hope.
Yep, because I've had lots of emails that say they're a lonely fish in a fishbowl, and they've said that 100 different ways, but they feel like they're on their own. They may have one or two, and if they're really blessed, they may have a family member who's like-minded with them theologically and all. Otherwise, they're a lonely fish in a goldfish bowl. That's why you're here, and that's why I'm here. And I'm here to say that's why Olive Tree, one of the reasons we exist, is we want to be there for that lonely fish in the goldfish bowl.
You obviously remind me, when you say that, of Elijah, who at one point felt like he was all alone, and I'm the only one left, and the Lord let him have a small pity party, we like to say. But then the Lord said, no, you're not the only one left. There are 7,000 who have not bent their knee to Baal. They're scattered. And today, we have the blessing through modern technology to connect with people across the airwaves through remote connection, or even to drive or fly and be together with other remnant believers who are like-minded in looking forward to the Lord's return. So there's no reason to feel sorry for ourselves. As a matter of fact, we can encourage one another, and all the more, as Hebrews says in chapter 10, as we see the day approaching, and that allows us to go back to the places where the Lord has scattered us, like leaven, so that we can help to inspire others and draw them to our soon coming King.
I think you just quoted one of the most important verses in the Bible, Tim, and that's that verse that we are to encourage one another. And all you have to do, and the three of us do it all the time, is look at the headlines online. They're staggering. They're overwhelming. They're totally depressing. And if we can't be about encouraging one another, then that's pretty disappointing. But a lot of people are doing that. And I think that's one of the spiritual gifts. So we need to be practicing that every day, every
Amen.
Single day.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, people often accuse us as a Bible prophecy ministry. I'm sure you hear it all the time, that it's all gloom and doom and antichrist and destruction. But you end your book, Understanding the Times, with a wonderful quote by a pastor who wrote you. And he said, we don't live in uncertain times, not at all. These times are as certain as any time in all of human history. So how can our viewers have that same kind of confident faith in such a time as this?
I encourage them to look up. And I think everyone watching this is capable of doing that. And I mean that from a very biblical perspective, that they are looking up. They're looking up. They're anticipating the trumpet sound. You know, I mean, I can throw out the question, Tim and Nathan, you know, why are we still here? Apparently, God's plan of the ages is not finished yet. And we're going to serve out our time, so to speak. But we need to be looking up and longing for his appearing. But in the meantime, we are here on assignment. God has equipped us with certain gifts that are unique. I don't care who's watching or listening to this. They are equipped in a very unique way. And now is the time to quickly be about our Father's business while we have time left. Look, the trumpet could sound before we have a benediction here. But if it does not sound, then for some reason, the Lord wants us to press on, press on, and press on some more, tough as it is.
Tough as it is. I think some Christians might be lulled almost to complacency because Here in 2025, we've seen a reversal of some of the foolish policies of, dare I say, the last 4 years. And so they might say, we're on the ascend. I would warn that the trend lines are still very dangerous in terms of the culture, the ideology that permeates the United States and other parts of the West. And so we need to be doubled down and warning people, even in a time like this, to focus on eternal things and not to have some kind of false hope, even in the political process that's going on.
And the rapture is not on hold.
No.
Donald Trump may be president, but the rapture is not on hold. It's going to still happen at a time when we're caught off guard. It may happen in the peak of prosperity, but it is not on hold.
Well, Jan, we cite your program on a regular basis, and we cite you, actually, on a regular basis because we frequently repeat your assertion that the world is not falling to pieces. The pieces are falling in place. So once again, what do you mean by that, looking around prophetically at all that's going on?
And I think that in this previous few minutes here, we've kind of summed that up, Tim. I think we've indicated that, for one thing, the church, not all of them, some of the church is a little bit dysfunctional. That's all predicted. That Israel is in the place it's supposed to be, that Zechariah 12:3 is happening. She is the burdensome stone. Nobody wants to deal with her. That there is a love of evil. If we're going to cheer for Hamas, we're celebrating evil. We're not doing that, but much of the world is doing that. These are things the Bible said, look at these things and you'll know that the hour is late. We could all give 20 more things that indicate the hour is late, the increase of travel of knowledge, etc. So, folks, we're running out of time. That's my point here. We're running out of time. Be about your Father's business while we have time.
Jan, we only scratched the surface. Again, your wonderful book, Understanding the Times. Can you tell us how they can connect with your message over at Olive Tree?
Well, they can go through my website, olivetreeviews.org, and you gentlemen are carrying my book, and thank you for doing so. And my other book that came out by Harvest House, When Jesus Returns, and that's a compilation of contributors, Jack Hibbs and a dozen others, olivetreeviews.org. But thank you for what you're doing, because honestly, you're one of the sister ministries that we cherish here at Olive Tree, and the pioneer work Dave did, we appreciate it so very, very much.
Well, Jan, we certainly appreciate you, and we are thankful for you being willing to join us today and grateful that we are co-laboring alongside you as together we proclaim Jesus' soon return.
Amen. What a privilege.
Thank you, Jan, for being with us today.
Well, the Lord has been faithful to raise up prophetic voices in every generation, calling people to repent of their sins and urging Christians to be serious about their walk with Christ. That is the role of an evangelist, one who shares the good news of the gospel and warns people to flee from the wrath to come.
Jan Markell has been faithful to her calling, serving as a watchwoman as she has alerted people that Jesus is coming. You'd think that those who claim to love His Word would welcome that exciting news, but too many Christians have been duped into thinking God's prophetic Word is divisive and discouraging. I'm glad that Jan has not wavered in her commitment to proclaiming that message. We pray that you have been blessed today and that you too are longing for the Lord's appearing. We also hope that our conversation has been an encouragement to you and allowed you to have an even better understanding of the times we live in. Until next week, on behalf of all of us here at Lamb & Lion Ministries, Godspeed.
Next up, Ken Michael and Josh Schwartz talk to former New Ager Jen Nietzsche. You need to hear her warnings, so please don't go away.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. In a time characterized by fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. As we enter the summer months, thank you in advance for remembering the work of Olive Tree Ministries. We continue our outreach year-round of media, conferencing, travel, print and electronic newsletters, and encouraging one another as we see the day drawing near. We are watchmen on the wall year-round. Our representatives continue to travel, and the gospel is needed even more as the skies darken. How different would our world look if we all encourage someone daily? Why not ask God to give you someone today to encourage in a meaningful and profound way each and every day? Push back against the darkness by encouraging one another. Thank you for encouraging us. Our exhortation to you is to look up, for our redemption draws nigh. He is coming soon. We are watching and waiting.
But they're looking for something. They're seeking answers, wisdom, control, and identity. Unfortunately, they're going to get quite the opposite when you go to the devil. I would say be careful, because when you do devilish things, you get devilish outcomes.
We know you can't always be by a radio. So if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, on all of our social media, and on his channel, Christian TV. In part two of today's programming, Pastor Josh Schwartz and Ken Michael talk to a former psychic, Jen Niza. Here is the balance of today's programming.
And our tagline says, bringing healing treasures from the depth of the earth, and that's exactly what we do. We work with miners all over the world, and these miners bring these beautiful crystals directly to us.
Have you ever wondered which stones can be combined and which should be kept apart? We will explore some popular healing stones, their properties, and how to incorporate them effectively for your healing journey.
So basically for me, tarot is a fun tool to get in touch with my intuition. What you can see is the cards are so subjective, it's so relative, and it all depends on how you interpret the cards for yourself and your own situation.
When the five perceptions are stilled together with the mind, and not even reason bestirs itself, they call it the highest state. When senses are firmly reined in, that is yoga, so people think. From distractions, a man is then free, for yoga is the coming into being as well as the ceasing to be. Here, yoga seems to be a kind of state that is achieved when one reins in the senses and the mind, when we go beyond the workings of the intellect and the senses and reach some kind of stillness.
The Enneagram is a personality assessment which helps you identify your core motivations, fears, and drivers at work, home, and in relationships. It explains the why behind our behaviors, answering questions unique to you, like, why do people describe me as intimidating when I don't feel that way? Or why is it so difficult for me to decide what I really want?
Welcome to Understanding the Times. I'm Ken Michael. Joining me, as always, is Pastor Josh Schwartz. Our guest today is a former psychic and medium who has come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. She can be seen on her YouTube and podcast program called xpsychicsave.com. We'd like to welcome back Jen Niza. Jen, welcome back to the program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you again.
So Jen, in this clip that we just heard, we're seeing celebrities and others that are promoting the use of crystals, and stones, and tarot cards, and all of these instruments. Tell our audience, what is the purpose of using these items, and then why are they so dangerous?
The purpose of using those items would be to attain secret knowledge, to reach some sort of false enlightenment, vibration, frequency, and healing, so many things that are not truly going to be able to happen because these are demonic tools. Crystals in and of themselves are created by God, and they're beautiful, and we give God all the glory for them, but they are not to be used as a tool of divination, which is condemned by God. God says not to do that. So the danger is that you are entering into the demonic realm. You are going into contact with demonic entities. What the girl said about the tarot cards was how you interpret it, because it's so subjective, it's so relative, that it makes a difference as to how you see it and how you determine what those cards are saying. That's just not true. You don't determine those things, you're entering into the demonic and you are invoking demonic forces. And those demonic forces, those entities are at large when you enter into divination, and they will provide information to the one who is reading those cards, as well as the fact that the little pamphlets that come in the decks of tarot cards have already been channeled. That's channeled information, because in fact, tarot cards are cardboard cards with paintings on them that have no meaning at all. Henceforth, divination, seeking meaning out of meaningless things or trying to contact the dead or any other supernatural being.
That's a great point. And so many people see them as something that is tame or fun to do, to maybe see what my path might look like today. But the truth is, they are an instrument of the demonic to lead people astray and to bring them into ultimately a really dark place.
And the danger, of course, is when you start listening to demons, you get into demonic oppression, and the eternal cost is very high if you stay there and you don't come to Lord Jesus and you don't repent. And the enemy seeks to distract people with these tools of divination, making false promises of that which he truly cannot deliver. He cannot deliver joy, wisdom, insight. He can put on the masquerade. He's the master of smoke and mirrors, of illusions. But that's why the person will have to keep going and always ends up going down a rabbit hole, because it can't give what it's promising to give.
That's a huge point. Now, Jen, a couple of questions for you in regards to that, especially the new age and seeing really, I think, demonic deception on the rise in our culture. Are you seeing a rise in Gen Z and millennials really using this new age platform?
3,000,000%. And I would attribute that mainly to social media. Of course, we're seeing it in the music industry and cinema as well. But social media, right on your phone, just that instant click. And it is trendy to have your crystals, to do manifesting. It is trendy to be involved with witchcraft. And it's interesting because it overlaps and they feed into each other. So, for instance, the music industry, the Grammys, Taylor Swift, where you're seeing these demonic celebrations and promotions. And then you'll have TikTok double down and hashtag it and make it go viral, and people will be talking about it and it becomes the buzz.
Are there apps out there, Jen, that kids are turning to for this kind of information, or what exactly is out there?
I would say TikTok and Instagram are huge. I, thank God, am not searching for psychic apps or anything, but I bet you we could find a great deal of them in the app store, maybe a tarot card reading app. Meditation is huge. New age meditation, that is, right? And I'm sure that they can find those. And it just depends on how the enemy lures them over to start. And as long as he can get you intrigued and interested, so maybe they find it on Instagram or TikTok, and then they go look up the app, because it's that temptation. It's that hook. He wants to hook you. And it's not hard to do through the occult and through the new age.
Jen, I've heard you talk about pendulum reading. I wasn't familiar with this phrase until recently. Explain to our audience exactly what that means.
I had a pendulum. It actually was my rose quartz heart-shaped pendant. So it was on a chain. I would wear it around my neck, of course, believing that that in and of itself would attract people to me, but with good feelings, love, and not per se romantic love, but any kind of love, right? So then I would use this crystal on the chain. I don't know how other people do them. I'm sure it's as subjective and relative, as that girl said, as every other thing in the New Age, of course, because it's not godly. So there's no absolute truth to it. So New Agers have their own deviations. But I would have the person lay down and I would put the pendulum over their chakras and I would see if those chakras were open or closed and then determine the next step from there. See, that brings you down another whole New Age practice. But people will use pendulums, pendulum readings for simple questions like yes or no, and believe that they have trained their pendulum to move clockwise for yes, let's say, and counterclockwise for no. In and of itself, you can see that when you're asking a yes or no question to start, you have a 50-50 chance, number one. But number two, again, you're going to divination. You're going to forces outside of God, outside of his will and his boundaries. So you are invoking demons that will show up and have a power. And take a pendulum. It's just a thing, again, that doesn't know whether something is yes or no. It knows nothing. So where does the information come from? Demons.
You're absolutely right. And the demonic deception is running rampant, whether it's pendulum reading, where you're simply using an instrument to make it seem like it is the universe or some metaphysical thing that's speaking to you, that it's ultimately a demonic instrument used to lead people astray. I think another thing that you mentioned that's so important to bring up is this aligning of chakras. Can you give us maybe a 1 or 2 minute explanation of what that means and how it is so important, specifically in the practice of yoga?
Yoga is a big red flag and extremely demonic. Chakra, Sanskrit, means wheel. And the belief is that the false ideology, of course, is that you have 7 primary chakras from the top of your head to the base of your spine. So the wheel would be energy center. So like a little wheel turning either clockwise or counterclockwise if it's closed. They're either open or closed, and it's energy that has colors that correlate with them that will give you a check on your, depending upon where the chakra is, your emotions, your spirituality, your psychic ability, and your physical health as well. When I would do these chakra balancing, but also as a reading, because I would get information while I was doing these chakra balancing practices. For instance, if the pendulum read counterclockwise and it was over, let's say, the throat chakra, I don't want to get into too much detail. We believe the third eye. The third eye is a chakra, again, air quotes, because this is not truth. It's coming from false religion and it's a demonic lie. But we believe that the third eye was like the little movie screen for where we would get our psychic information. Of course, you would want to keep that open so that you could become all-knowing. Interesting, right? So yoga does involve chakras, specifically kundalini. And the sad deception is that it's just stretching and breathing and exercise, and it's going to make you feel better. It is connected to yoga and extremely dangerous. And the kundalini is like in the shape of a serpent on your spine, and there's kundalini yoga.
So, Jen, we're seeing celebrities and YouTubers all over the internet right now, and they're coming up with this feature called What's in the Bag. Are you familiar with this?
I've not heard this.
I want you to hear a clip that we have, and I want to get your opinion on it.
Hi, I'm Emma Watson, and I'm headed to London. This is What's in My Bag. So, you never know when you're going to need just a quick, straight glass of gin. Oh, my tarot cards. This is fun. A friend gifted me a deck. I think it's so much fun. I love the ritual of it. I try and pull one every day when I do my journaling. This is actually the original tarot deck. It's a classic, but I have a few different ones. Should we do it now? Oh, wow. This on camera. I am usually freaked out by how accurate the cards I pull from this deck are. So let's see what I get. Now that's interesting. As I was shuffling, there's one card that's upturned, which makes me feel like that's the one I should pick. Oh, interesting. So I pulled the World card. Well, actually, it was chosen for me by the deck. The World represents an ending to a cycle of life, a pause in life before the next big cycle beginning. It is an indicator of a major and inexorable change of tectonic breadth. So it stands for achievement, fulfillment, possibilities, and potentially successful conclusions.
So Jen, we had no idea how popular this was. We have a Gen Xer on our staff, and he asked, hey, have you guys seen this? What's in the bag? And I know I wasn't familiar with it. Pastor Josh was like, we need to see this. This is all over the internet, and there's celebrities, YouTube influencers that are out there, and wherever they go and whatever they do, they bring their bag along, and then they take out all these items, and we've seen stones and obviously the tarot cards. How influential is this for young people to watch?
Extremely influential. These are people that they unfortunately idolize and that they see in a certain light. And no mistake, they're using the word light because they see these people as famous. That means money, successful, kind, maybe. Maybe they're even charitable. Who knows? Philanthropic. Maybe they're beautiful. So every move that they make, these young people are going to be influenced by what they're doing because, after all, they're doing it. Why shouldn't I? I mean, it must be okay, right? These are great people. And it's extremely heartbreaking, that clip, seeing them just bust out some tarot cards out of the pocketbook. And yet if I was back in my new age shoes, I would have loved that. That would have been amazing to me. And it's very sad to see that you just take a tool of divination right out of your pocketbook and then broadcast it for everybody to see. And so the young girls and guys as well, they see this as glamorous. They see this as popular. And they see this as a way to control their own reality. They put their faith and trust in these tools of divination, despite the fact that they even confess how subjective it is. They're not going to God. They're not going for truth. But they're looking for something. They're seeking answers, wisdom, control, and identity. Unfortunately, they're going to get quite the opposite when you go to the devil. I would say be careful, because when you do devilish things, you get devilish outcomes.
Jin is absolutely right there, explaining that they see these people as influential. They see them as glamorous, as people that they ought to be looking up to. And what just killed me is, imagine the impact that maybe some of these people would have if they would pull out a Bible from the bag and read from the Holy Word of God. And instead, they're pulling out tarot cards, alcohol, and crystals. We watched so many of these videos, Jin, and it was one thing after another. All these extremely influential people, celebrities, and the like, doing this exact same thing. Obviously, this is having an impact on the culture and the young people of the culture. And over the last number of years, we've seen a huge decline in attendance at church, especially among young people. We want to play another clip and get your thoughts on this as well.
There are different churches in the world. Everywhere you go, you see churches. And these churches are from different denominations. We look at some churches and we ask if God is really in that church, or if they truly believe in Jesus Christ, because their doctrines are the same as the doctrines of demons. Some churches are like an abode for occult groups.
And this will kind of probably offend you, but oh well. I view the Holy Spirit like the genie from Aladdin. And he's blue, unplanned, perfect. And he's funny, and he's sneaky, and he's courageous, and he's everywhere, and he's wonderful.
If we read through the New Testament, there are places where we have been warned about these people or churches coming up in the world. This is not something that started in this age, but the rate at which they are emerging is alarming in this age.
That many false worship bands rise up and appear as angels of light, but are truly Trojan horses that use their music to get false doctrine into our churches.
The Spirit explicitly says that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. And look at verse 2, we see deceitful spirits will use hypocritical liars to draw people away from the truth. In these last days, doctrines of demons and the demonic influences will be so convincing that some will depart from the apostolic faith into apostasy. Tragically, these apostates are professing Christians who knew the truth but were never born again. They had head knowledge, but it never reached their heart. They are like the seed that fell on rocky ground but had no root, no spiritual life, no real union with God.
You're listening to Understanding the Times. Our guest today is Jen Nitza, ex-psychic and medium. You can find her at ex-psychicsaved.com. Jen, you've seen the impact of what you were involved with. Now, are we seeing this displayed in the church, and is it similar to what we just witnessed?
Unfortunately, we are seeing it in the church. From the beginning, they mentioned the Enneagram. The Enneagram is a New Age tool. Yoga is in the church. And that false teaching that we just saw in that clip, that woman sitting there, really, in my opinion, you can correct me, Pastor, if I'm wrong, blaspheming the Holy Spirit, because how are you going to say the Holy Spirit's sneaky and he's blue and he's all these things, or at least mocking him? That just hurt me to listen to that. But then we have churches like Bethel with cards, and I know people get very upset and there's a lot of pushback with that, with the grave soaking, and that's necromancy. That was in the church, and there is evidence of that. So yes, we're seeing more and more of that. The book Jesus Calling, which is extremely deceptive, we see that in churches. But in churches being recommended, absolutely the New Age is creeping into the church. And how many people are even calling themselves Christian witches? Christian intuitives, Christian Reiki, Christian healers, trying to blend the two, which is an impossibility. You cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons, says God's word in 1 Corinthians 10:21.
You're absolutely correct. That is blasphemy. That clip of her saying what she thinks of the Holy Spirit is one of the most disgusting things I've ever heard. It is heartbreaking, to say the least. And to be dealing with grave soaking and other things, that is necromancy. And this is what Deuteronomy says about such things. Deuteronomy chapter 18, when you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens, or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer or one who inquires of the dead. Whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. Friends, if you're hearing this and you're dabbling in these things, hear the word of God that this is an abomination and we must flee from it. We must speak the truth in love and warn people that these are very dangerous things to be a part of.
Absolutely, 100%. And I find it so powerful that God says the practices are an abomination, but so is the person practicing them. And when you look up the word abomination, it's something hated. It's disgusting to God to do these things, not just the practices, but the person too. And God, I always say, he's not an angry grandpa. He's not a buzzkill. He's not any of that. His commands are for our good. And I encourage people to walk away from these snares of the devil, the lies that are straight out of the pit of hell, and come to Christ Jesus, the only one who knows all things, who has all creation in his authority, and who loves, and who is the only one who can give you fulfillment, peace, joy, and freedom, and eternal life, life itself. These practices will bring you death and demonic oppression. So if you're trying to mix Christianity and the New Age, I can assure you that demonic oppression is certain to happen when you open these doors to the demonic. And sometimes people don't realize they'll start having the side effects of demonic oppression, but they won't attribute it to that because they didn't know. And those are things like doubts, confusion, not wanting to go to church, not wanting to read your Bible, spiritual warfare, demonic attacks, anxiety, sleep paralysis. These are real things that come from demonic forces. So we really need to ask the Lord to close any door that we might have open. And I encourage people to get rid of anything that they may even have in their home that's associated to the New Age. If you're coming out of the New Age or you have a past to the New Age, please comb the home and see if you have anything left, books, tarot cards, and burn them. Acts 19:19 them.
Amen. You are absolutely right. Now, Jen, as we bring all of this to a close, you've come out of the psychic world, the necromancy world. How were you saved out of that?
Oh, there's always hope in Christ Jesus. How was I saved out of that? I called on the name of Lord Jesus, not a spirit guide, not a deceased person. As the Bible says, he is our help, and calling on his name, and he comes. And I felt such a peace come over me when I cried out on his name, and I didn't think about it. I wasn't looking for a new way of life. I wasn't looking to adopt a philosophy or a religion or anything like that. I was perfectly content in doing readings. I wasn't content with the side effects, but I was so demonically oppressed, and I called on the name of Jesus Christ. And it was a little bit of a journey over the period of 10 months. The Lord finished what he started, and he brought me into a church where I heard the gospel. I sang the words of the Bible, and I was set free. I fully accepted Lord Jesus as my Savior and understood that he was the one who showed up when I called his name 10 months prior. And I cried tears of joy, of liberation, and gratitude to our Lord for setting me free. He revealed very quickly to me what I was doing. Praise God. I went home from that church that day, and I went straight to Google. I didn't have a Bible handy for obvious reasons, you might say, but I went to Google and I Google searched, what does the Bible say about psychic mediums? And that was all the Holy Spirit pointed me right to the word of God, and his agenda was clear to his first order of business was to get me away from what I had been doing. And he revealed to me what I was doing. And I knew that it was Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, that I was a sinner that needed a Savior. And he died for my sin and he set me free. And whatever he said was what I was going to do. So I didn't understand the whole thing, but he said it right there, Deuteronomy 18. That stood out to me in a big way when I did that Google search. And I said, okay, God, I'm going to pick up my cross and follow you. And I quit my job. And that was about 11 and a half years ago.
Yeah, Jen, you are absolutely right. Jesus is the only way, and he has used you and your ministry in an amazing way. As we wrap up here, Jen, how can people get in touch with you?
The best way to get in touch with me would be through my website, xpsychicsaved.com. That's xpsychicsaved.com. And that's the hub for everything. You can email me there. You can go to my audio podcast, which is also X Psychic Saved through Edify. It's on Spotify and other platforms as well. My YouTube channel is, everything is linked up there. So you will be able to find me easily. My books are on there. I've been doing a lot of speaking. Well, I should say I have a lot more speaking upcoming, but I am just so thrilled that God is using me for his glory and for his kingdom and using all the days of my past now for him.
Well, we are blessed to have you, and we want to thank you for your time today. Jen Nietz has been our guest. Take care, and God bless you and your ministry.
Thank you. God bless you, too. You are the love song
we'll sing forever. Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. We are here to represent the truth and spread the truth, for God is not the author of confusion. We are on borrowed time, as predicted events from the Bible are now all falling into place.